and you can just almost hear him mouth breathe at her. Yeah. It's so cute and so sad all at once. So I want to take us back to one of my favorite places that I've never been, Japan, because the fun just keeps happening. I saw this article where this zoo in Japan was celebrating, I guess, like some kind of new TV show or movie. I don't know what it is. Some new anime thing. And they started putting characters from the show that kind of look like various animals in the exhibits. Just like these cardboard or wood cutouts of different characters dressed as animals. And there was one, they put this girl dressed as a penguin in the penguin encounter. And one of the penguins has gone full otaku and fallen in love with this poster.
Sure.
That might be the most Japanese thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, basically. So, looking at the article that you sent me, the picture's adorable. Like, he's literally just standing there, because they put it on top of, like, a rock. So, obviously, they can't, like, get to it all the time and knock it over or whatever. So, it's on top of a rock, sitting amongst a shrubbery. But the penguin is just sitting at the base of the rock, just staring up at it, just like, I praise you. Tell me what I can do for you, my queen.
And penguins have, like, this just natural kind of slouch to them. And so, he's slouching and looking up, and you can just, like, almost hear him mouth breathe at it.
Yeah.
It's so cute and so sad all at once.
Yeah, this penguin is definitely the awkward teenager, just, you're so pretty.
Well, he's 20 years old, which in penguin years, this is like if you went down to the mall and you saw some 80-year-old in front of Hot Topic just staring at a Harley Quinn cutout. And not the human Harley Quinn, like just the old Batman Harley Quinn. And he's just... they said, like, Japanese visitors noted that Grapekun, which is, I guess, what they call the penguin, spent every minute staring at, sitting next to, or praising Hululu, the character, as if she was a breathing mate. He has even neglected the rest of his flock just to be with Hululu. So, like, even the other penguins have decided, no, you're a dork. Not only have you fallen in love with a human, which is something out of a creepy DreamWorks movie, you've fallen in love with a fake one, and we're not going to hang out with you anymore. The great bonds of friendship that have kept our species alive in the cold, dark Antarctic for millennium is not worth putting up with your otaku crap.
Well, then it gets really tragic by the end of the article. It says the zookeepers are isolating him from Hululu for his health. It turns out Grapekun wasn't eating his food because he was too busy chilling with Hululu. So Grapekun is 20, which is elderly for a penguin, so his cute antics could cause him to die from malnutrition. And they have a picture of him, and they basically roped him off. They put a partition between the two of them, so he can look at her, but he can't have her. Which, come on, if you're trying to get somebody to, like, get over somebody, like a quote-unquote breakup, you don't let them see them constantly but not be able to touch it.
I would love this to be a thing that they do for humans who have this problem. Because this is a problem. There are people out there who fall in love with fictional characters, and it becomes kind of concerning. So I want to go to the comic book store and just wrap that plastic tape around some of these people as they stare at their waifus.
It's quite a tale of love. Love lost. Love that never was.
It doesn't make any... Like, is he in love with the penguin part? Or the like, she's huge compared to him too,
right?
Like, that's intimidating. She's at least twice his height.
Which might be why he might be into bigger chicks.
I don't know, twice your height, that's intimidating. I'm small, but a 10-foot tall woman would be terrifying to me. I don't care, you know, how big her eyes are.
I mean, there are some dudes that are, like, into, like, the size of women, or, like, the fact that they would, in a somewhat masochistic way, just, like, just be bigger than them and dominate them. Not like, physically, but just, like, the fact that they're bigger. Like, that is a turn-on for guys. So, maybe that penguin is just experiencing that. He's 20. He's like, I've had everything. I've seen everything. This is something new.
I've seen it all. He's had penguile dysfunction for a long time, and he's finally able to get it up again because it's gone on a new way.
If you suffer from penguile dysfunction, consult a physician.
If your love for waifus lasts more than 4 hours, get behind a plastic fence and stare longingly.
Tell somebody about it so they can put you on suicide watch because you're not eating anymore. it's just such a human condition. Like, that sounds like you said, that's something that somebody would go through for, like, a fictional character, even a real person. And just like, I can't have them. I will starve myself to death. It's like, no, just eat. It's cardboard. Eat.
If they did make a DreamWorks movie, it would be like the kid's equivalent of Taxi Driver. So, yeah, if anyone puts a giant anime girl in your house, don't fall in love with her. You might die. So as I was driving up here to Seattle to move up here, I had to pass through Twin Falls, Idaho, which was the site of one of the most interesting stories of my childhood. Twin Falls is right by the Snake River. It's in the middle of this big flat plain, but there's a canyon that cuts right through it where the river is just carved out, this big gorge. And so there's this big, huge bridge that spans this big canyon, and it's this big, gorgeous, scenic outlook. And when I was a kid, we were driving up from Pocatello to Boise. We stopped in Twin Falls to kind of get out and stretch our legs. It was about halfway through. And my mom, who was driving parts of the thing, was like, okay, kids, we're going to go out on the bridge and just look at nature for a little bit. So we go and we do that. And as you do when you're looking at nature, you start throwing rocks off the bridge at the nature.
When you're a boy and you're looking at the nature, let's say that.
I mean, I think my sisters took part of it, too. But so we're all like watching the rocks fall down into the water, and my brother couldn't see over because he was, let's see, he would have been 8 or so at the time. So he couldn't quite reach over the fence. So he sticks his head in the fence and starts looking down and watching. We're having a great time. And, you know, after about, you know, 10, 15 minutes of rock chucking, my mom's like, all right, guys, time to get back in the car. So we all start going back to the car, and we realize my brother's not with us. And we turn around, and he is stuck head first in the fence on the middle of this bridge, which it's a big bridge, but it's not a huge bridge. So as semi trucks are coming by, it's shaking the whole thing, and he just cannot get his head out. And we had to go, and we each grabbed an arm or a leg and just started trying to Winnie the Pooh him out of this fence. And it was very scary for a minute, but hilarious the whole time.
Scary and funny at the same time can give you a weird sensation. I'll say that. Also, if you were going to Winnie the Pooh him out, technically one of you had to be pushing, the other one had to be pulling.
Well, I'm not going to get on the other side of a bridge and push his head through.
As well, you probably shouldn't. Yes, that sounds dangerous on a bridge. Especially the bridge, the picture I'm looking at, intimidating, I would say, is a good word to describe it.
It is quite the chasm. This is actually where Evel Knievel tried to jump over and failed. So, you know, you can... If you look the other direction, you can see the giant ramp to the thing that Evel Knievel couldn't jump over. That's our claim to fame.
Well, I mean, there's a bridge. Why didn't he just drive over the bridge?
Because he's Evel Knievel. Does Evel Knievel ever take the bridge?
Trust me, Evel Knievel is a verb at this point because of what Evel Knievel does, so I know why.
So the way we actually eventually got him out is my mom said, well, we're going to have to call the fire department, and she started walking away, and he started crying to the point that it lubricated his head.
Oh.
And we were able to get him out.
That's it, son. Cry. Cry like you've never cried before. That's it. Now, use your tears to lubricate your face. It's a weird thing you never thought you'd say as a parent.
Well, see, now I'm prepared. Everyone's always worried about their kids sticking their head and things. Like, no, I'm fine. I know how to get him out. Cry, boy, cry!
Just whipping him.
Why are you being your son? He's in such a bad situation. This is the only way to get him out.
I've done this before. Shut up.
Trust me, I'm a pro at this.
If you want to help, say mean things to him. you're a fat little piggy? I don't know if I'm helping.
Try harder. Remind him of the time Bigfoot's mother died.
It's a weird one, but sure.
Name one thing from your childhood that could make you tear up quicker than Bigfoot's mother dying. Or not Bigfoot, Littlefoot.
Okay. That's what you're... Yeah, I Bigfoot's not real, so Bigfoot's mother dying is not going to affect me in any way.
You're just really empathetic towards Sasquatches, you know.
Yeah, it's like,
as most six-year-olds are.
Yeah, sure. It's my platform. I remember Littlefoot's mother dying, but I was definitely not of the age where it would actually, like, emotionally affect me. Or I was a robot back then. I don't know.
Say, like, we're the same age, and that made me bawl my eyes out for 5 years. So, you know what? You have no soul.
My life was a video game that I leveled up over time, and I definitely did not get my emotion skill until, like, late high school, probably. I just didn't feel emotions until then, so Littlefoot's mother dying does not affect me.
You savage beasts! Okay, this is an interesting topic. What movie or TV moment did make you cry?
So, as a kid, nothing.
You dick!
Like, I just had no emotional response to anything I watched. Other than, that's cool, I want the toy.
That's not an emotion.
Yeah, that's why I said it's not, no emotion. But now I get emotional quite easily with certain things. So, you know, and pretty much every Pixar movie I watch in some way or another has got me emotional and or actually crying. Toy Story 3, I wept like a baby, I will admit that. But the entire theater was crying, so I'd...
Yeah, that's a good one. The first 10 minutes of Up is...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's genetically engineered to make you weep.
Yeah, like, that is the best crafted emotional experience, I think, ever. You feel so much during that first little bit, so yeah.
Yeah, it also makes you feel terrible for showing people that movie, saying how good it is, and then that's the first thing that happens. You have to tell them, give them a preamble of, okay, so, you're going to hate me after the first, like, 10 minutes of this movie, but trust me, it gets much more uplifting.
No, see, I recommend it for the first 10 minutes. Like, the whole movie is, like, it's a good movie, but the first 10 minutes are what makes it good and worth watching. Like, that's, you can just watch that and just be emotionally exhausted for the day.
Yes. So there's that. I'm trying to think, like really heavy crying moments. The end of Finding Neverland has always gotten to me.
I haven't seen that movie in so long, I can't remember how it ends.
The mom has died at that point. She's dying like the entire movie. Like, she has cancer and she's very ill. And then she finally, you know, gets to see quote unquote Neverland and then dies. And then it's Johnny Depp and the boy, Freddie Sizemore, I think is his name, that's sitting on a bench and like he's just crying, like, why did my mother have to die? And it's like, oh God. It's such a wonderful like movie of like fanciful fun and all this. And then like the real moment just hits you at the end. It's gotten to me. Cars, I've cried at Cars, but Cars is not one that I would have thought would have gotten to me. But when Lightning goes back to push the guy at the end and push him to the finish line, that gets me.
Yeah, see, Cars, I
Cars cannot. 2, no. Cars 2 is a flaming pile of poo.
I haven't even seen them. I didn't like the first Cars very much. Monsters, Inc., I think, is way more emotional than it should be.
Well, I mean, it's a guy getting attached to, you know, his best friend.
Yeah, well, and so, like, both that and Wreck-It Ralph, like, really resonate with me just because they're almost like fatherhood tales. It's a big, tough guy learning to love and to see beyond himself and stuff in both cases. So I really like both of those. But my son was watching Monsters, Inc., and he started just bawling at the end. So he covered his eyes, and we're like, oh... Are you okay? Is this too sad for you? He's like, no, I'm just playing peekaboo.
Aw.
I'm like, aw. You emotionally well-developed child. You're not a robot like that guy I podcast with.
It's fine to be a robot as a child. You will someday get over it. If you don't get over it, then yeah, you need to have the child tested. But, sorry. Things are falling over on my desk. I blame my wife. I'm trying to think of other movies that have definitely made me cry.
So did you watch Old Yeller as a kid?
No. I've never seen Old Yeller. I've heard of it, and I know what the moment is that makes everybody cry, but I've never seen it myself.
Now it's obviously going to destroy you, but like as a kid, like that movie and Where the Wet Fern Grows will just absolutely just wreck a child. Absolutely just wreck their day.
You say that, but again, it depends on the child.
I wish I could find like 7-year-old you or however you were.
You don't
all the time
want to
show
it's
you.
It's probably a little Damien like. You don't want to see that. Look at well adjusted.
Making
Jason.
Your au pair jump off the roof of stuff.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that. It was I didn't have any. It wasn't fearless. It was emotionless. That's different. I feared many, many things. Which may be why I was emotionless. I don't know, but yeah, nothing.
Okay,
I watched.
Okay, so what movie scared you that shouldn't have?
Oh, I mean, Wizard of Oz, the witch would scare the crap out of me.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. Scared me and shouldn't have. I mean...
Or not just more than it should have.
I didn't watch that many scary movies as a kid because I knew they were going to scare me. Like, I was also protected from them. Like, people, my parents, no, you should not be watching this. We're watching it. You cannot watch this with us. Okay, that's a good call, Mom and Dad. Thanks.
Well, no, see, like, those are movies that should be scary. I'm trying to think of a good example, like... The wolf thing in The Neverending Story used to scare the crap out of me, but that still kind of should have been scary, even though it's more of a kid movie. I'm trying to think, because I know I was the biggest freaking pansy when it came to movies as a kid.
Well, while you're trying to think of that, I'll tell you that I've never seen Neverending Story.
You haven't seen Neverending Story?
That might be why I was emotionless, is because I never actually saw any of these movies that people had like huge attachments to.
Yeah, I don't...
I've seen Land Before Time.
I think what it was is you don't give a crap about dinosaurs. Like, if you had seen anything else, you would be a much more well-adjusted person, but you only got to see movies where dinosaurs died. Thank you very much for listening. To find more podcasts from our network, head on over to www.digitalstrips.com. You can also find us at twitter.com/digitalstrips, facebook.com/digitalstrips, or soundcloud.com/digitalstrips.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.